Welcome to Zichru Daf Siman Mem. We have Ram Goldar, and today we're Sechas Erevin Daf Mem Dod. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara brought an incident when Nechemiah Braid Rav Chanilai became engrossed in his learning and accidentally went out of his tchum. When he realized where he was, he stopped and remained within his Dalad Amos. When Rav Chisda told Rav Nachman, Nechemiah's Rebbe, Rav Nachman said, Asul Mechitza Shal Bnei Adam Yechanes, make a human partition for him by lining up people so that their bodies form an enclosure around him, which reaches back into the tchum, and let him enter into his original tchum. Rav said it was obvious that the case was where there were not enough people to form an enclosure all the way back to the tchum. And Rav Chisda wanted to know if the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, who permits a person within two amas of his tchum to return to it. If there had been enough people, there'd be no question that it would be permissible, since the halacha goes, according to Rabban Gamliel, who permits a person to move through an entire enclosed area, even though he was not there at the start of Shabbos. Point number two, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Bar Abraisa that taught that if a wall of a sukkah fell on Yontov, one is not permitted to station a person, animal, or utensils in its place, because one may not make a temporary structure from start on Yontov, and it goes without saying that he may not do so on Shabbos. Rav brought a braisa that seemingly disagrees and says, Osa Adam is chavero dofen, a person may use his friend as a wall of a sukkah, kideisha yocho v'yishta v'yishan, so that he may eat, drink, and sleep in it. The Gemara resolves the contradictions by saying that the first braisa involves someone who's aware that he's being used as a mechitza, which doesn't work. The second braisa involves someone who was not aware that he was being used as a mechitza. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Mishi Yatsub Rishus, one who left his tchum with Rishus, for example, for Eidos HaChodesh, to testify for the new moon, and was told that there was no longer any need for him to testify, he has a new tchum of 2,000 amas in every direction. If he was told this while he's still in his original tchum, it's as if he had never left. Rav explains that this means that it is as if he never left his house. And the Gemara explains that since he uprooted himself from his tchum by setting out to leave, one might have thought that his new tchum is centered around him. The Mishnah is coming to teach, therefore, that this isn't so if he's still in his original tchum. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya says that it means that if the new tchum overlaps with his original tchum, it's as if he never left his original tchum. The Gemara clarifies that Rav Shimi Bar Chiya holds havlas tchumim milsihi. There's a halachic principle that the overlap of two tchumim areas join the two areas into a single tchum, and Rabba disagrees with this rule. So once again, the three points are: point number one, on the bottom of Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara brought an incident when Nechemiah Braid Rav Chanilai became engrossed in his learning and accidentally went out of his tchum. When he realized where he was, he stopped and remained within his Dalad Amos. Rav Chisda told Rav Nachman, Nechemiah's Rebbe, Rav Nachman said, Asa lo mechitza shebnei adam yechanes, make a human partition for him by lining up people so that their bodies form an enclosure around him, which reaches back into the tchum, and let him enter into his original tchum. Rav said it was obvious that the case was where there were not enough people to form an enclosure all the way back to the tchum. And Rav Chisda wanted to know if the halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, permits a person within two amos of his tchum to return to it. If there had been enough people, there'd be no question that it'd be permissible, since the halacha goes according to Rabban Gamliel, who permits a person to move through an entire enclosed area, even though the enclosure was not there at the start of Shabbos. Point number two, Rav Nachman Yitzchak brought a braisa that taught that if a wall of a sukkah fell on Yontov, one is not permitted to station a person, animal, or utensils in his place, because one may not make a temporary structure from start on Yontov, and it goes without saying that he can't do so on Shabbos. Rav brought a braisa that seemingly disagrees and says, Osa Adam is chavero dofen, a person may use his friend as a wall of a sukkah, kideshu yochav yishtam yishan, so that he may eat, drink, and sleep in it. So the Gemara resolves the contradictions by saying that the first braisa involves someone who is aware that he's being used as a mechitza, which doesn't work. The second braisa involves someone who is not aware that he was being used as a mechitza. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Mishi Yatsub Rishus, one who left his tchum with Rishus, for example, for Eidos HaChodesh, and was told that there was no longer any need for him to testify, he has a new tchum of 2,000 amas in every direction. If he was told this while he's still in his original tchum, it's as if he had never left. Now, Rav explains that this means that it is as if he never left his house. And the Gemara explains that since he uprooted himself from his tchum by setting out to leave, one might have thought that his new tchum is centered around him. The Mishnah is coming to teach, therefore, that this is not so if he's still in his original tchum. Rav Shimon Bar Chiya says that it means that if the new tchum overlaps with his original tchum, it's as if he never left his original tchum. And the Gemara clarifies that Rav Shimon Bar Chiya holds havlas tchumin milsihi. there's a halachic principle that the overlap of two tchumim areas join the two areas into a single tchum, and Rabbah disagrees with this rule. All right, so now we go to our simon for Daf Mem Dalet, and the simon is mud. Mud. So here goes. The distracted student who walked out of his tchum into a muddy field and needed more humans to form an enclosure called his friend who was standing in as a sukkah wall, and the man who was no longer needed for Eidus HaChodesh. Once again, in slow motion. The distracted student who walked out of his tchum into a muddy field. Muddy field? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Dalet. The distracted student who walked out of his tchum into a muddy field and needed more humans to form an enclosure, which reminds of the case where Nachman said to make a human enclosure for the Talmud who ended up beyond the tchum, was where there weren't enough people to bring him all the way back to the tchum, and Rav Chisma wanted to know if the halacha goes according to Rabbi Eliezer, who permits a person two amas from his tchum to return to it. So the distracted student who walked out of his tchum into a muddy field and needed more humans to form an enclosure called his friend who was standing in as a sukkah wall, which reminds us of the contradictory braises regarding whether a person can be used as a sukkah wall, and the Gemara's resolution that the braisa that prohibits it was a case where the person was aware that he was being used as a mechitza, whereas the second braisa that permits it is where the person was not aware that he was being used as a mechitza. So the distracted student who walked out of his tchum into a muddy field and needed more humans to form an enclosure called his friend who was standing in as a sukkah wall, and the man who was no longer needed for Eidus HaChodesh, which reminds of the Mishnah's case when a person was leaving his tchum with Rishus, for example, for Eidus HaChodesh, and was told that while he was still in his original tchum, he was no longer needed, and the Mishnah tells us it's as if he never left. Rava says this is coming to teach that even though he uprooted himself to leave, his tchum is not centered around him, rather his house remains his makom shvisa. Rav Shimon Bar Chiya says the case was where his new tchum overlapped with his original tchum, and he holds havlas tchumim milsehi, that the two tchumim join into one single tchum. So once again, the distracted student who walked out of his tchum into a muddy field and needed more humans to form an enclosure called his friend who was standing in as a sukkah wall, and the man who was no longer needed for Eidus HaChodesh. All right, now it's time for four blah ba chazora, daf mem. So the simon daf mem is water, and we use a pool. So here goes. When the canopy work is by the pool, that must be run daf mem. When the canopy work is by the pool, saw the hadassim delivery truck arrive, which reminds the Gemara discusses the issue of a Jew benefiting from work done by a nachir, and brings the following incident. Hanu b'nei gananan de gazu l'asim b'yom tov sheni. There were these canopy makers for whom hadassim were cut down by Nachum on the second day of Yantav, and that evening Ravina allowed them to smell the hadassim immediately upon the conclusion of Yantav. Rabbi Bar Tachliva said to Ravina that he should forbid them to smell the branches because they're not b'nei Torah and they'll come to treat the second day of Yantav lightly. Rav Shammai objected to the statement, which implies that if they were indeed b'nei Torah, they would be permitted to smell them, but one's required to wait after Yantav the amount of time that it takes for the work to be done before being permitted to benefit from work that was done in Yantav. Rava was asked what his opinion was, and he ruled, Be'inin b'gdei shiyasu. So when the canopy workers by the pool saw the hadassim delivery truck arrive, they feverishly finished up setting up for the Yom HaZikaron services, which reminds Rava said that when he was in the yeshiva of Rav Huna, they asked Rav Huna what the halacha was regarding mentioning Rosh Chodesh in the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah. Do we say, Kevin de chalukim b'musafin amrinan? Since one brings different musaf offerings on Rosh Hashanah and on Rosh Chodesh should be mentioned? Or perhaps one mention of remembrance is sufficient for both of them. Rashi explains that Rosh Hashanah is called a Zikron Trua, a day of remembrance of the Trua. And the Torah says regarding Rosh Chodesh, and it will be for you a remembrance. Since HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises to remember us on both days, the term Yom HaZikaron and the Rosh Hashanah Tefillahs can refer to both. After extensive discussion, the Gemara concludes that both Rav Chisda and Rabbah individually said, Zikron Echad Ololo Kano Khan, one mention of remembrance is enough for both occasions. So when the canopy workers by the pool saw the Hadassim delivery truck arrive, they feverishly finished setting up for the Yom HaZikaron services so the Chazan could make a Shehechiyanu, which reminds Rabba also asked Rav Huna whether a Shehechiyanu should be recited on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Do we say the Kevin of Zman L'Zman Asi Amrinan, since they only come from time to time, we should recite them? Or perhaps, since they're not called regalim, we do not recite them because only the regalim have an elevated sense of simcha. Rav Huna didn't know the answer. Rava then went to Rav Yehuda and said to him that he understood that one is reshus to make the bracha on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but he doesn't know if it's a chovah to recite it. Rav Yehuda answered that Rav and Shmuel hold that it's only a chovah to recite a shechianu on the three regalim. After extensive discussion, the Gemara rules, Hilchasa Omer Zman. The halacha is that one needs to recite a Shehechiyanu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Simcha Mem Aleph is a grandma. Grandma. So here goes. When the grandma, that must be more in Daf Mem Aleph. When the grandma gave the grandpa a burnt kibbutz, a piece of fish, to break his tinus right before Shabbos, which reminds Rav Huna was asked that if a student took upon himself to fast on Friday, Mahu Ashume, what's the halacha concerning completing the fast until definite nightfall? This would be problematic since it's forbidden to fast on Shabbos. Rav Huna didn't know the answer, and neither did Rav Yehuda. Rava brought a braisa that taught that when Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, or when Erev Tisha B'Av comes out on Shabbos, a person may eat and drink all he needs, umala shulchanu afil kasuda shlomo b'shato, and he may bring up onto his table all types of food, even like the banquet of Shlomo HaMelech in his time. If Tisha B'Av falls on Erev Shabbos, however, mavin lo kabetzav ochel, we may bring the person who's fasting only kabetz the size amount of food to eat before Shabbos, kidei shlo yichanes lo Shabbos kashimuna, in order that he should not enter Shabbos suffering from the hunger of the fast. So we see from the braisa that one is not mashlim his fast even on Tisha B'Av. Therefore, he certainly doesn't complete it with a tainus yachid. However, the Gemara concludes later that we do indeed complete the fast of Tisha B'Av when it falls on Erev Shabbos. So when the grandma gave the grandpa a burnt kibbutz, a piece of fish, to break his tainus right before Shabbos, it aggravated his intestinal disorder, which reminds us it was taught in the braisa, Shlosha ein roin pnei gehenim, three types of people do not even see the facade of Gehenna because the pain and misery they suffer in this world atones for their sins. Those who suffer from extreme poverty, intestinal disorders, and the pursuit of creditors. Some say also someone is a bad wife, an ishra, such as in the case when he can't divorce her because the ksuba is too high, or they have children together. The Gemara asks what the practical teaching of this is, and answers, to accept these challenges with love. Rashi explains that accepting them with love brings kapara. So when the grandma gave the grandpa a burnt kibbutz, a piece of fish, to break his tinus right before Shabbos, it aggravated his intestinal disorder, forcing him on Shabbos to leave his Dalet Amos in order to relieve himself. Which reminds us, the opening mission, the fourth parak taught, that if someone was removed from his tchum on Shabbos, he's only permitted to move Dalet Amos from his location. Rava was asked what the lach is if the person needs to relieve himself, and he answered, Gadol kavod abriyah shedor chitz lo saseh shebatorah. Human dignity is so important that it supersedes a prohibition of the Torah, meaning the commandment of Losasar, which teaches us not to deviate from the decrees of the Rabbanan. Therefore, one may walk out of his four amos in order to relieve himself, even though there's a prohibition of the Rabbanan that one cannot leave his Dalet Amos. Based on this, the Chachamim Nardah said that if he's wise, he should re-enter his tchum while seeking a private area. And once he's returned to his original tchum legally, he can stay there. Rashi explains that we learn this from the Mishnah, which permits one to be back in his original tchum when he's forced to be returned there. All the more so in our case when he returns to his original place with halachic permission. Daf Mem Beis. So the Simcha Daf Mem Beis is the mob. So here goes. The mobster. Mobster. That must be one Daf Mem Beis. The mobster took 2,000 steps, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Hay mahalach ve'enu yadeya tchum Shabbos. If someone's walking on Shabbos and he doesn't know where the Shabbos tchum ends, Mahalach alpaim psios beinonios. He may walk 2,000 average-sized steps in one direction. V'zoi tchum Shabbos, and this is the measure of the tchum. Rashi explains that the distance traveled by a person with each step is one amma. So the mobster took 2,000 steps to the freshly enclosed area in the open field where his prisoner was kept. Which reminds, Rav Nachman also said in the name of Shmuel, Shabbos beviko v'kifu nachrim mechitza b'Shabbos. If he made his Shabbos residence in an open field, thereby giving him 2,000 ammas from that spot, and Nachrim encircled with partitions on Shabbos, Mahalach Alpaim Amma, he may still walk only 2,000 Amas from his Makam Shvisa. Rashi explains that since the Erev took effect when it was in an open area, we can't consider the large enclosed area as Dalet Amos based on walls erected later. Metalta Bakula Al Yedei Zrika, however, he may transport objects within the entire enclosure by means of throwing. Since the field is enclosed, it has the status of a Shursi Yachid, in which carrying is permitted. Rav Huna agrees that he can walk 2,000 amas in any direction from his makom shvisa, but he may only be metalta arba amas, carry 4 amas. He doesn't permit throwing the object beyond his tchum, shemi yimashach archevso, out of concern that he might be drawn after his object and step out of his tchum. He restricts carrying within the 2,000 amas of his makom shvisa, mishum da'havi kamechitza shenifritz b'mlo l'makom ha'asrua, because the case is similar to a partition that was breached along its entire length, leaving it completely open to a place in which carrying is forbidden. Meaning that since the enclosed area now has two areas, one in which he's permitted to walk and should be permitted to carry in, and another in which he's forbidden to carry in, even by throwing, because it's beyond his tchum limit, and these two areas are not partitioned off from each other, he is forbidden to carry even within his 2,000 amas. So the mobster took 2,000 steps to the freshly enclosed area in the open field, where his prisoner was kept, only to discover he had escaped and boarded a ship, where he walked about freely. Which reminds us that in the Mishnah on Daf Mem Alf Amud Beis, Rabban Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah were in a boat that had sailed beyond the Tchum, and they walked within the entire ship on Shabbos, whereas Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Akiva did not move out of their Dalet Amos. The Gemara brings two explanations why the halakha is like Rabban Gamliel. Rabbi says, Hoyel v'Shabbos ba'avir mechises mibaod yom, because he establishes Shabbos residence within the walls of the ship while it was still day, which enables him to treat the entire ship as his Dalet Amos area. Rabbi Zera said the reason is, Hoyel v'Sfina notaltim mitchilos arba menachtim besof arba, because the ship is constantly in motion, he constantly gets a new Dalet Amos within which to walk. The Gemara addresses what the practical difference is between these two opinions. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine, so here goes. The demon flying above ten tefachim beyond the Tchum to deliver the magazine about seven rulings. Magazine? That must mean we're on Daf Mem Gimel. The demon flying above ten tefachim beyond the Tchum to deliver the magazine about seven rulings, which reminds Rav Chananya asked, Yesh Tchumin l'mal ma'asar or ain't Tchumin l'mal ma'asar? Do the halachas of Tchum apply above ten tefachim or not? If they don't apply, then it will be permitted for someone to travel beyond the Tchum at a height above 10 Tefachim. The Gemara tends to prove that the laws of Tchum do not apply above 10 Tefachim from an incident where seven rulings that were set on Shabbos morning before Rav Chista in the town of Sura were repeated Shabbos afternoon before Rava in Pumbedisa, which is at a greater distance than the Tchum. The Gemara suggests that it must have been Eliyahu HaNavi who traveled in the air above 10 Tefachim and reported the teachings, which proves Tchumim do not apply above 10 Tefachim since he wouldn't violate Shabbos. This proof is rejected, as the Gemara suggests that it might have been Yosef Shida, Yosef the demon, who traveled beyond the Tchum because he's not Shomer Shabbos. So the demon flying above 10 Tefachim beyond the Tchum to deliver the magazine about seven rulings was spotted flying over a crowd busy preparing for Shabbos, which reminds the Gemara then attempts to prove that the laws of Tchum do apply above 10 Tefachim based on a price that teaches that if someone declared, Harini Nazir b'yom sheben David ba, I'm a Nazir effective on the day Mashiach comes, he's permitted to drink wine only on Shabbos and Yantar. Rashi explains that it's certain the Mashiach will not arrive on those days. The Gemara suggests that the reason Mashiach will not come on Shabbos and Yantar is that he will not violate the laws of Tchum and travel more than 2,000 amas. If the laws of Tchum do not apply above 10 Tefachim, then it would still be possible for Mashiach to arrive on Shabbos by traveling the air above 10 Tefachim, and the Nazir should not be permitted to drink wine on Shabbos Yantiv. This seems to prove that the Tchum does apply above 10 Tefachim. The Gemara gives a different reason for why Mashiach will not come on Shabbos and Yantiv. The Pasuk Malachi states that Eliyahu will be sent to announce the pending arrival of Mashiach the day before. And Kvar Muftach Lal Yisrael, She'ein Eliyahu Ba, Lo Ba'arve Shabbosos, Lo Ba'arve Yamin Tovim. There's a tradition that Eliyahu will not arrive on Shabbos Yantiv because of the difficulties it would impose on people to complete their preparations while taking time to greet Eliyahu. So the demon flying above 10 Tefachim beyond the Tchum to deliver the magazine about seven rulings was spotted flying over a crowd busy preparing for Shabbos by a man on a boat with a hollow tube. Which reminds the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches that Rabban Gamliel used a shofaris on the boat, a hollow tube with which he was able to look and sight a distance of 2,000 amas on land or at sea. Rashi explains that a long hollow tube narrows and shortens the viewer's range and can be calibrated to yield a maximum distance of 2,000 amas. The Brisa brings additional innovative ways to calculate measurements. All right, now it's time to conclude our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from the second Brachos on Shabbos. Number 1, which Daf do we have a question whether the halakhas of Tchumim apply above 10 Tefachim? That's on Daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 2, which Daf do we know that the Chumim go with Chumra based on a suffix if Shabbos and Yantiv are one or two separate Kedushos? That's on Daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 3, which Daf do we have a halakha is whether Havlas Tchumin Milsehi? That's on Daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 4, which Daf do we have a question of a person can be used as one of the walls of a sukkah? That's on Daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 5, which Daf do we have a case of Nachrim encircling one's Makam Shvisa? That's on Daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 6, which Daf do we learn what one does if he doesn't know where the Tchum ends? That's on Daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 7, which Daf do we learn that one can make a human enclosure for someone outside the Tchum? That's on Daf Memdal. Good number eight. What should they learn that placing the Erev without a verbal declaration isn't Chachana, because people will think the person is a distracted rabbinical student? That's on Duff. Halama test. Good number nine. Which Duff do we have two reasons that are given why the Halacha is like Rabban Gamliel regarding walking on a boat? That's on Duff. Membe is good. And number 10, which have to go in the reason why Mashiach will not come on Shabbos? That's on Duff. Mem Gimel. Good. Now we go to the three bonus questions. Number one, which Duff do we have in Machlok is between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding Pekaka Chalon, shuttering a window? That's on Duff. Kuf Chaf Hei and Shabbos. Good. Number two, which Duff do we learn Shmuel Sheet of what it's going to be like in the times of Mashiach? That's on Duff. Samach Gimel and Shabbos. Good. And number three, which of the one that wants to relieve himself before davening if he cannot wait 72 minutes? That's on Duff. Chaf Gimel and Shabbos. Excellent. All right, that concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.